One, in the matter of the application of Suburban Natural Gas Company for an increase in gas distribution rates, for tariff approval, and for approval of certain accounting authority. For the appellant, Mr. Healy.
Thank you. Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court, I'm Christopher Healy, representing the Ohio Consumers Council. As you know, we're the state agency representing residential consumers. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time today for rebuttal. Today, I'm going to explain that the PUCO violated Ohio's rate-making statute, revised code 490915, by approving rates that included the value of a 4.9 mile pipeline extension when the rates should only include the value of 2 miles of that extension. The PUCO denied customers the benefit of the rate making law, which says that customers only pay for property that is used and useful in providing utility service. PUCO also ignored the date certain under this law. The PUCO lacked discretion on these legal issues. I will also explain today that the PUCO's ruling was manifestly against the weight of the evidence. This case is about a pipeline extension. Suburban built a 4.9 mile pipeline extension. Now, utilities can build whatever they want, but what the law says is what customers will pay for. And in this case, proper application of the rate making statute says that customers should only pay for 2 miles. We ask the court that the court reverse the PUCO's order, remand the case to the PUCO, and order the PUCO to set new rates that are based on the value of 2 miles of the pipeline extension as of the date certain. The court has described revised code 490915 as a detailed, comprehensive, and mandatory rate making formula. Mandatory means mandatory. What the General Assembly was doing with this law was establishing a basis for apportioning risk between utilities and their customers. So a utility invests money in their utility system, and when that investment turns into property that can actually be used to provide utility service, and is useful, meaning that it's required for safe and reliable service, at that point, some of the risk shifts to the customers because the customers begin to reimburse the investors for their investment, and the investors have an opportunity to earn a profit or a return on that investment. So that's the risk-sharing scheme that the General Assembly established. Now, unfortunately—
Council, excuse me. Is it just a matter of timing, really? Because they put in a 4.9 mile line, and the first 2 miles you don't have a dispute with, correct?
That's correct.
They were useful, put into service, was delivering for the utility, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. We have no dispute about the first 2 miles.
Okay, but the second phase was inevitably necessary. Do you disagree with that?
We do disagree with that, Your Honor. I think that that's a question for a future rate case, that if at some point in the future the full 4.9 miles becomes useful and necessary, then that's a question for the PUCO to address in a future case, which Suburban is free to file at any time. You said it was an issue of timing. I think it is an issue of timing, but it's also a question of uncertainty. You know, we just don't know whether at some point in the future Suburban's customers will actually need this whole 4.9 mile pipeline extension.
Are they not using it now?
They are using it. So there is gas flowing through it right now, but it's superfluous. It's not serving any purpose. The customers would get the same benefit right now based on the number of customers and the demand on Suburban system as they would with a 2 mile pipeline extension. I realize it's tough because you can't, you know, you can't cut off a piece of a pipeline and not use it. You can't have a partially used pipeline like you can with some other pieces of property. But that's why the law says it has to be both used and useful. You can't just put it into service and say it's in service, therefore, you know, that's the end, and therefore it must be used.
So you're saying that one of the components is necessity, not just used and useful, but necessary.
I think that's incorporated in the concept of useful, right? So if something is not necessary and you could serve customers in the exact same way without it, then how could that be useful under a plain interpretation of what the word useful means, right? If you have two things—
If it's useful, it's able to be used. And, you know, there is no contingent on necessity.
I don't think I would agree that anything that is used is useful. The commission certainly said that those are different standards, that something being used is not necessarily useful. The law includes both words. So certainly the intent of the General Assembly was that it's possible for something to be used, but not be useful. And I think this is one of those cases where we are seeing that I wouldn't even say they overbuilt, but for current needs, there was no use for the extra 2.9 miles.
And the argument that it made business sense from a construction point of view to do this in one fell swoop as opposed to two different projects, it was economically better to do, that's irrelevant.
That's right, Your Honor. Those are two different standards. So this court has said on multiple occasions, including a 1979 case, Ohio Consumers Council, and another 1981 case, that prudence alone of the decision-making does not turn property into useful property, that you have to assess the property as of the date certain, which occurs necessarily some point in the future after that decision is made. You know, there's been concerns raised by this and other courts that if you just look at the time the decision was made and follow this prudence standard, was it a reasonable management decision? You're effectively turning customers into insurers and saying, regardless of what happens in the future, investors are going to get their money back. Customers don't get the upside of that investment, right? They don't get to earn a profit. That's only the investors. So that risk has to be with the investors up until the point that the property is in service and is useful, which, you know, we have interpreted and reasonably interpreted to mean that it's necessary for safe and reliable service.
So if you look at the record, you have your expert testify essentially that the two miles was enough. Suburban's expert testified that 4.9 miles was what was needed to bring this up to capacity. Why isn't this just a case of where the fact finder chose made a factual conclusion between two competing expert opinions?
Your Honor, this is not about competing experts, actually. It was not our expert that testified on the 2 miles. It was Suburban's own expert, their engineer, who testified that the 2 miles was sufficient. So in his pre-filed testimony, he supported the need for the 4.9 miles. But then at the hearing, he was asked, well, did you look at shorter lengths? He said, and this is on OCC Supplement 87, with a 2 mile option, we would have been good this winter, which included the date certain, and they would have been able to safely and reliably provide service to customers. So this is not a battle of the experts. This is just unambiguous evidence from the utility's own expert. You know, the utility has the burden of proof in this case, as in the case below, as the applicant, to justify its proposed rate increase. And that includes showing that the size of its system is the right size and not overbuilt. To provide customers for purposes of determining what customers will pay for as of the date certain.
So you're saying now the costs, spread the costs to the customers is okay, over 3 years is okay, but only with regard to 2 miles of the line?
No, Your Honor, part of our position is that the 3 year phase in is also unlawful because it violates the rate making standard under 4909.15. There's three steps to that standard. It says what property is used and useful on the date certain, what's the value of that property on the date certain, and you set rates based on that value. So
why wouldn't consumers want a phase in which lowers the price?
First, Your Honor, it doesn't necessarily lower the price. So there's evidence in the record from one of the PUCO staff witnesses that it could actually raise the price because
But there's no evidence that would go above the 4186, right?
It's unknown. So it's going to get recalculated each year. And so that recalculation.
It's speculative then.
It's speculative either way, right? So we don't know whether they're going to save money. We don't know whether it's going to go up. And I think as we explained in our brief too, there's another concern that because this case involved a settlement where the PUCO looks at the entire package, that the concern we have is that allowing this type of phase in, and the PUCO cited that as one of the main benefits, allows a stipulation to pass the three-part test, even though it violated this law and allowed the full 4.9 miles. So the PUCO seemed to be using the phase in to kind of soften the blow of allowing them to charge the full 4.9 miles. I think an important thing to realize is with respect to the 4.9 miles, this settlement in this case was between staff and the PUCO only, right? So obviously Suburban would want the full 4.9 miles in, and staff says it agreed that the whole 4.9 miles was used and useful. So it's odd that then staff would also insist on some kind of phase-in. You know, the phase-in was used to make the settlement more palatable as a whole, and that's what harmed customers here. I think, an important point to come back to that the Chief Justice raised was, this is a timing issue in this case. The utility is the one that controls when to file its cases, and the utility's decision when to file a case determines when the date certain is. So this court has recognized, including in the 1992 Ohio Edison ruling, that a utility can't choose a date certain and then complain about the rate-making consequences of that. That's essentially what we have here. Suburban chose February 28, 2019 as the date certain. The PUCO accepted that. Everyone knew from the beginning of this case. That happens at the very start of a case. The PUCO and the utility determine what the date certain is, and everyone knows going forward, that's the date that we're looking at property, that's the date that we're valuing property, that's the date that we're assessing usefulness.
So there was some testimony from the expert that said that the 2 mile extension would have, quote, just barely kept above the minimum safe operating pressure for 100 PSIG for 28-2019. And he also testified that it needed to be, well, it should to be safe, you should be well above the 100 PSI figure to allow for contingencies. Doesn't that undercut your argument that there wasn't evidence in the record that the unambiguous evidence in the record says 2 miles would have been enough?
Your Honor, the witness did say that on redirect. I think a couple things. One, the commission did not rely on that evidence. It didn't mention it at all in the order or in its entry on rehearing. And I think it's important to look at that comment in context. That's on OCC supplement, page 98. Immediately after saying that, he says that the 2 miles would have satisfied the need for this winter. Earlier in his testimony, he said 2 miles would have been sufficient, and he didn't know when after the date certain it would be deficient. So while it's true that he said it would be just barely, what we're talking about is not just barely above that 100. They were barely above that 100 with no pipeline extension under the utilities model. So the utilities model showed that with no pipeline extension whatsoever, they expected to be above 100 PSI as of the date certain. So with the 2 miles, it would necessarily have been above that. We know that with the 4.9 miles, it was substantially above that in the 230s. So
is there any modeling in the record about what the 2 mile would have done?
No, Your Honor, and that's part of the problem. You know, the utility did not put anything in the record about, you know, what would the pressure have been at 2 miles. We asked the witness, did you look at 3 miles? We didn't even look at that. Did you look at 4 miles? We didn't even look at that. And so the utility was not.
Who has the burden to show that a lesser extension would have been sufficient?
That's the utility's burden, Your Honor. They're asking for a rate increase, and it's their burden under 4909.15 to establish the need for that rate increase. They didn't even look at options.
They put in evidence that 4.9 was necessary to get them above where they needed to be. They also needed to put in evidence to negate any lower values.
I think that's right. They need to show what was actually needed on the date certain, February 28th, to show that 4.9 miles did the job. Doesn't mean that that's all that was needed. They could have built a 10 mile or a 20 mile pipeline that would have provided safe and reliable service too, but it clearly would have been excessive. So they needed to show, you know, we looked at all these different options, and you know, if 4 miles would have been more than enough in their opinion, then that would be a question of fact. If they looked at 3 miles, maybe, but they didn't do that. Their witness testified that with 2 miles, that would have been sufficient. So the PUCO's main error here was that the PUCO looked beyond the date certain, right? So in its order, it focuses on what it expected to happen after the date certain, not on the date certain. It said, well, Suburban's going to have more customers in the future. They're going to have more demand. We need to look beyond that and decide, well, this was a prudent decision. So all that collectively is what violates both the plain language of 490915 and the requirement that you adhere to the date certain, and certainly violates the intent of that statute in the consumer protection angle, that customers are only supposed to pay for something that's giving them a benefit right now, not something that might benefit them in the future. Thank you, Your Honor.
Can you discuss the phase in, the legality of it, and why that did not ameliorate the problem of 4 versus 2?
The issue with the phase in and whether it's lawful or not. So the utility and the commission seem to suggest that because the law says a utility can earn a certain amount of revenue, it can accept a phase in because that will lower the rates. The problem with that assumption is that it assumes that the utility has some kind of ownership right over this statute, that the statute is a right of the utility. It's not a right of the utility. It's a mandate to the PUCO on how to set rates. So the fact that the utility willingly would agree to something other than what the statute says, they're just not allowed to do that. I'll certainly concede that for the, in the first year after the settlement was approved, rates were lower than if the entire 4.9 mile extension went in immediately. There's no doubt about that. It doesn't account for the fact, obviously, that we don't think 4.9 should go in the first place because only 2 is useful. And in the long run, those rates could be higher as a result of the phase-in. And the phase-in allowed the bad stipulation to pass the PUCO's 3-prong test, which also included other harm to customers that we didn't raise in this appeal. So it's kind of a holistic look at the stipulation and why that phase-in contributes to the bad result for customers.
And what was the alternative to the phase-in?
The alternative to the phase-in would be that the entire 4.9 miles gets included in rates immediately upon approval of the case. And so what we're asking for on remand is that the rates be reset based on only 2 miles, because that's all that was used and useful, and that there be no phase-in, and the PUCO would set those rates prospectively as it does as a matter of fact.
So with the phase-in, those rates are already set, and they're not going to change unless someone would apply for some kind of a change, correct?
Well, the phase-in takes three. There's 2 different parts of the phase-in. The first one's already happened, so rates were approved, 50% went in. Then it increased a little bit last September, and it'll increase again this September when the third part of the phase-in goes in. But other than that, it's just a calculation at this point. There's no more process to be had on how that phase-in will work.
Right. So it's already established according to the calculation.
The calculation will have to be done in the future because it'll be based on the number of customers that Suburban has at that future date. So we don't know exactly what that rate will be, but we know the math behind how it will happen.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Eubank.
Good morning, members of the court. I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my time and or the balance for Suburban's counsel. Clearly, the pipeline extension is useful because the gas flows through the pipeline to Suburban's customers, which makes it completely different than the vast majority of cases.
By that logic, they could have built a 50-mile pipeline as long as gas flowed through it. That's really not the standard, is it?
Well, part of the standard is it used? And all I was explaining is this particular pipeline is used.
Okay,
and
you said useful, but that's okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the pipeline is used, and that makes it completely different than the vast majority of cases that are cited by OCC, which involve property that was not used. Therefore, the issue of whether or not that particular property was useful was never addressed by the court. The extension is also clearly useful because it restored a pipeline system that was on the verge of failure in 2018 and 2019 to a pipeline system that was no longer had any threat of failure.
Well, but again, why did it have to be 4.9 miles to do that? Why couldn't it have been 2 or 3?
Well, the commission was concerned with having a pipeline extension that did not just meet bare minimum standards. The standard that the commission set was that the pipeline had to ensure safe and reliable service. And it felt that—
But didn't your experts say that at least on the date certain, 2 miles would have been enough?
The expert stated that based off of the projections that were used in the design of the pipeline, that the 4.9 was the optimal size of the pipeline, Your Honor. But focusing on the assurance of safe and reliable service, I want to raise to the court one particular fact. And that is that in the winter of 2015, the system experienced a failure. That's before the growth in 2016, 17, 18, and 19. That's before there was any modeling. That's before they went to the Ohio Power Siting Board in order to get approval to build a new pipeline. So there was a gap in what the modeling was saying was the date for when you needed a new pipeline and what actually happened in reality. And that was an overarching fact that the commission had to keep in mind when it was making its determination. The commission wanted to make sure that there was going to be an assurance of safe and reliable service. And yes, the model said, okay, you're going to need it in 2019, but in 2015, it dropped below 100.
But isn't the commission relying on experts? Just like, I mean, it's almost like the commission is saying, we can't rely on the experts. I mean, you had an expert there this time.
The commission balanced the experts' testimony with the facts that actually happened in reality, and then set its own standard. The standard that is used for modeling is not necessarily the same standard that is used for the commission in approving rates. And the commission said the standard that you use is the assurance of safe and reliable service. And that was the 4.9 mile extension. Now—
One more question for you. The question of useful, is this from the standpoint of the consumer, from the PUCO, or from the utility, or is it a fluid, pardon the pun, kind of concept?
Okay, so let me try to explain it this way. If you have the date certain, we would all agree that if the pipeline can be used before date certain, it can be used on date certain, and it can be used after date certain.
No, I'm talking about useful, not used.
I am, but I'm making an analogy.
All right.
Okay. No one would say that because it's used after date certain, you can't include it in the rates. Well, by the same standard, a pipeline can be useful before date certain, useful on date certain, and useful after date certain. And no one, there is no reason why a pipeline, just because it's useful after date certain, it should somehow be excluded from rates.
Well, now, does useful have a, see, there's functioning and there's useful. And I'm getting the sense that your colleague is saying that useful sort of has a value associated with it. Do you agree?
No, I do not agree, Your Honor. What the case law says is you look at the date certain and the pipeline that goes into ground, it has to go into ground before date certain, therefore it has to be being used before date certain and has to be useful before date certain. If those things happen before date certain, the entire pipeline is included into rates. Now, what the issue that he's getting at really is, if you look at it in the context of the statute, is what type of projections can be used in the designing of a pipeline. Now, 4909.15a unmistakably says, and it carves out this specific language for natural gas companies, that they can use projections when they are developing a pipeline system. And so, but it does not list all the types of projections that can be used. So the commission has the discretion to look at the statute and look at the a case on a case-by-case basis and determine whether or not the projections that were used by the engineer are proper in this case. And if they are proper projections, then the entire pipeline should be included in the rates. Now, the projections
But it says they can use projections, but it doesn't say that they can use projections to change what's used and useful on the date certain. I'm completely lost how you get there with this argument.
Okay, I guess what I'm saying
to say nothing like that.
I guess what I'm saying is this, Your Honor. Every pipeline that has ever been made has been created just like the pipeline that Suburban is making, using cost projections, using regulatory timeline projections, using project timeline projections and using capacity projections. All those have been used in the past, and yet OCC can't cite you one single case in which there was has been a pipeline where only part of the pipeline has been included in the rates. And that's because this statute has never been interpreted the way that OCC is trying to interpret it for suburban today. If people were to build pipelines the way OCC would have you build the pipelines.
Well, is it a question of building pipelines, or is it a question of when consumers are charged for pipelines?
If the pipeline is used and useful before date certain, the entire pipeline goes into rates. The only exception to that would be if the pipeline was designed around projections that were inappropriate.
What if they said they wanted to build a 30-mile pipeline because we know we're going to have this expansion and it's the most prudent thing from a business standpoint to do? Would that be okay?
Well, the commission also said that the projections that were used.
Just answer my question. So if they said from a business standpoint, what makes the most sense for us is 30 miles. We'll use the whole pipeline. There will be gas flowing through it. We don't really need it. We won't need it for another 5 years, but would that be okay?
I would say if the projections weren't keeping the existing customer in mind, like the commission said the projections in this case were, then that wouldn't be okay. But the commission said all the projections that were used in this case kept the existing customer in mind. For instance, let me give you an example, the regulatory timeline. The commission said, the engineer testified that the reason why you have to build it at 4.9 miles is because you have to make sure that the pipeline that is there will survive for a long enough period of time to allow you to build the next extension. If you don't do that, then you're putting customers at risk because you're going to make the pipeline become obsolete. So therefore, yes, if you ask me today, I'm a customer, I'm sitting here on date certain, and you ask me, Robert, is it useful to you to know that tomorrow your pipeline will still deliver you gas? I would say yes.
Yeah, but Robert, isn't there, Mr. Eubanks, isn't there going to be, isn't there going to be wear and tear on the extra? Just like Justice DeWine said, say you build 30 miles and you go ahead and use it and the gas isn't flowing as heavily through there as it would be if you had a shorter pipeline, but there's going to be wear and tear on that over time. And then at some point you're going to need to repair that. And then you're going to come to the PUCO and say, well, we've had these extra costs, and so this is justifies our rate, and this is why it needs to be higher. I think this is what the concern is. How do you deal with
that? That's why you have to balance all the different projections. You balance capacity projections with cost projections, with regulatory timeline projections, with building projections, and you build a pipeline like all pipelines in the existence of human history have been built, and yet there's never been an Ohio pipeline that has been required to only include a part of the pipeline into rates. If what they're saying is true, this should be commonplace. They should be able to cite to several cases where there were pipelines that were only partially included into rates, and yet they can't find one case. The only case they can find is an Arizona case. And that case involves a water pipeline, and they put that in their reply brief. Now,
how does phasing in ameliorate the concern?
Phasing in was part of just negotiations. And I will keep in mind that while the state and Suburban were the two signing parties, OCC did participate in the settlement. So don't believe that the end result of the settlement necessarily had to just be a result of the negotiations between Suburban and staff. That process incorporated the thoughts and ideals of OCC as well. So the end product often does include their issues that they bring up, even if they don't sign on to the agreement.
Council, if you say that they're allowed to use projections in determining this formula, and it is a long-range plan. That's what, you know, building pipelines by necessity requires a long range plan, not just for the next season, or am I correct so far?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so how does used and useful fit into those elements of the formula and the actual pipeline that's utilized? Because what I heard was, as long as there's gas flowing through it, it's going to be used and useful.
That's not what I'm saying, Your Honor.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I can give you an example where it would be used, but it wasn't useful. It would be, let's say it was used before, but the capacity wasn't enough. It wouldn't be useful. Okay, so it would be used before, but not useful. You wouldn't include it in the rates. Now, if you have it being used and useful before the date certain, the way that you could reach a conclusion that you don't include the whole pipeline into rates is if they were using improper projections. If the testimony that came before the commission found out, oh, well, yeah, you use projections, but your projections are unreasonable, the commission would have the power in that case to say, I'm going to limit your recovery on this pipeline. But it wouldn't be based off on the date certain. It's not, the date certain was not meant to be the cutoff date for when you can declare something useful or not useful. It was just the date before which you have to be using it, and it has to be useful. Okay, the projections are what you look at to cut it off.
All right, so you're saying the 4.9, the entire pipeline, was both used and useful as of the date certain.
That's correct, Your Honor. And if the facts have come out that the projections that Suburban had used were unreasonable, then the commission could have said, yeah, it's used and usable before date certain, but your projections are ridiculous. Therefore, we're only going to let you recover on 50%, 60, 70, 80%.
Well, they're using projections, they build it, it's used.
Yes.
And because you have customers in the extension, even if it's, you know, two or three, I guess.
Right.
That won't meet you're saying that will not meet the criteria for useful.
No, I'm saying it would still be useful, Your Honor. But in that, if you use projections wrong, you can overbuild it. But when I say overbuild, I'm not talking about capacity. What OCC is focusing on, they say it's overbuilt if it supplies more capacity than customers need on date certain. That's not how you look at whether or not it's overbuilt. You don't just look at capacity projections. You look at capacity projections, cost projections, building timeline projections, regulatory projections. And if based off of all those projections, it was overbuilt, then you could limit it. But what OCC is basically saying is you have to build a pipeline such that it becomes obsolete the day after it goes into the ground. We know no pipeline is built like that. We're in Columbus, it's a growing community. We know all pipelines are built in order to sustain some level of growth, in order to allow you to get that next pipeline into the ground. You can't have that gap, that period of time where you're going to have the pipeline become obsolete. And that's why the commission mentioned, yes, regulatory timelines matter. You have a lumpy nature in pipelines. And
Council, do you have an example of a case that the commission has said to the utility, you overbuilt and you cannot, you know, therefore charge the users an increase?
I do not have an example of that, Your Honor.
Have they ever done that?
I'm not aware of a case in which that has happened, Your Honor. It may have happened, but most of the cases, like I said, that were used and useful have been an issue in the past, have involved property that wasn't used before date certain. So they didn't have to address the issue of useful. This pipeline challenge that you see before you today, it's one of a kind, okay? For some reason, OCC chose to pick on Suburban They could have done this against any company in the past. For some reason, they're taking this strange reading of 4909-15A for Suburban. I don't know why they have a bone to pick with Suburban. They could have done this against anybody.
You've used up every bit of your time.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. I thank you for listening to my argument.
Did you reserve time for Ms. Boyko? Because I don't see her on.
I did, Your Honor.
Oh, there you are. Okay. All right. You may take a minute, ma'am.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor, Honorable Justices, may it please the court. My name is Kim Boyko with Carpenter Lipson Leland. I'm counsel for Suburban Natural Gas Company. Simply put, OCC's argument is premised on incorrect reading of the law and a misstatement of the facts. Let me clarify some of the facts. It's revisionist history if you listen to OCC. Suburban used an engineering firm, UTI, well-respected. They modeled 2-mile pipelines. They modeled 3-mile pipelines. They modeled various scenarios. All of those scenarios, starting in 2015, after an almost catastrophic event, said that they needed a 4.9-mile pipeline in order to restore the margin of safe operating pressure to provide safe and reliable service to Suburban's customers at the most tip end of the Southern system. So they did review all this data. They did decide that a 4.9 was required. A shorter pipeline, they said, was inadequate. So the engineers made that determination.
Ms. Boyko, doesn't Suburban set the date certain in its application?
Of course, let me tell you the history. The design decision was made in 2016 and 17 when the modeling showed that it would fall under the 100 PSIG level. And then they went and sought siting board approval from the Ohio Power Siting Board and received that in March 2018. Then they immediately started building the pipeline in August 2018. The point was to try to get it up and running by the winter of 2018 and 19. And they had some winter delays in the 2018 timeframe. So it wasn't put in service until February 2019, but it was put in service before the winter ended, and it was put in service in order to restore the minimum pressure levels. Throughout that whole process, 2015, 16, 17, they continued to model this. And all the modeling said that the pressures would be too low in the winter of 2018 and 19. Now, what Mr. Healy is referring to is on cross-examination, after the fact, in hindsight, he asked, would the system have been operating and would it have been safe in February 2019 when it went into play? Of course, the engineer said, we didn't have a catastrophic failure. The weather wasn't as winter, it wasn't as cold as we thought. The wind chill wasn't as bad as we thought. But based on all the data we had when we started constructing the pipeline, it all showed that the system was inadequate. And unless you wanted customers out of service, out of gas, for weeks, they had to do something to extend the pipeline to give customers adequate service. So he misrepresented what the engineer said.
Ma'am, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, Mr. Healy, you've used your time. You may take a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the commission's and Suburban's discussion today is telling that they focus almost exclusively on the decision to build the pipeline. That is not the legal standard. Utilities invest money all the time. They have to make prudent business decisions. The use and useful standard explicitly says that is not determinative. That is the prudent investment rule. And the commission and this court have said that that is not the controlling law in Ohio.
Mr. Healy, the PUCO has, I think, used a definition of useful that's really is necessary. And I think that's kind of your definition as being necessary on that date. Is that really... I mean, do those two words mean the same? Why wouldn't useful be something like, necessary on that date, but could also include, some kind of reasonable, additional capacity so you didn't have to, expand a week later? Wouldn't that still be useful to a consumer if it saved them money and made prudent sense for them economically?
I think you're right. The words useful and necessary are not identical. I think you would incorporate into the concept of usefulness, beneficial perhaps. Is the property benefiting customers in the provision of utility service. That's not the case here. That extra 2.9 miles is not doing anything for customers. You mentioned kind of an excess capacity type argument. You know, if you want to look at that, I mean, this is just massively overbuilt by that standard. You know, the pressure was projected to be more than double the safe pressure. The capacity was an 84%, 84% above what the projected peak capacity was. You know, this is not, there's some case law on excess capacity and what a utility needs to do in that. It's generally in the context of power plants from back in the day when Ohio utilities owned power plants. So I don't think that analogy is perfect. But even by that standard, Suburban didn't come close to showing that 4.9 miles was necessary, given that their engineer testified that the 2 miles was sufficient. And you know, I'd just like to make a couple corrections very quickly. Ms. Boyko said that their engineer modeled 2 miles, 3 miles. He explicitly said on cross-examination that he did not model 3 miles. He did not model 4 miles. And as to Mr. Eubank's comment that the settlement somehow incorporated OCC's concerns, that's just false. OCC vigorously opposed this settlement, and to suggest that OCC's concerns were resolved as part of the settlement that it did not sign, there's no record evidence on that as well. So I thank you all for your time today.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision.